Item 10 is a secondary plan at the area bounded by Gun Road, Perimeter Highway, Transcona Trail, and Central Manitoba Rail under file SP6 of 2013. The applicant is Ross Mitchell.
Good evening. Nice seeing you all. Some old faces, familiar faces from my past life as a district planner, counselors. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, and I'm glad that the gallery hung in there and there's interest in this secondary plan. I think that's the kind of thing we want to generate here at the city, more public input. So I'm pleased to see you folks. Do I have to give my address? 1600 Buffalo Place. When we made the application back in December, our company was called Genovar. It's now WSP, just so there's no confusion. So I'm joined here tonight by a couple of folks, Jackie Wilkie from McGowan Russell and Norm Boyle from North Grassy Properties. And I'll be possibly, they'll be possibly contributing to this presentation tonight, so just be advised. Now, I've got a PowerPoint. I also made, there's a couple of submissions. One in particular is a table that shows our response to the administrative report, which by and large we agree with, but we have some additional content, additional amendments we'd like the committee to consider. So I won't delay. I'll go through this PowerPoint presentation. This is the, there's been a number of players involved with pulling this secondary plan together. Here's a few of them. McGowan Russell did the plan itself and spearheaded the public consultation. Stantec did the engineering and traffic impact. Stevenson Advisors, the cost-benefit analysis. And we had a lot of assistance from the administration. I would like to thank them. This plan's been through a couple of district planners, Brian Ward initially, and then he left the city, and James Platt's taken over. We've had great cooperation and good feedback on the plan. And, of course, North Grassy Properties and John Winthrop Consulting was hired by the city to consult with the industrial property owners. I believe they're represented here by Mr. Chappell. Anyway, there's been quite a team. This is shows the process, where we're at. We actually made the secondary plan application back in December, but the process had been going on for, my gosh, over almost 2 years. Wow, is that right? Is that typo? No? So it's been a long process. It started with a public open house on January 18th. Based on the, some of the input we received, McGowan Russell prepared the draft plan and sort of put together a draft secondary plan. We had another open house in November of last year. And again, based on that feedback, we made some plan amendments, and we made the formal application for the secondary plan last December. And of course, here we are on the 22nd. If it's approved tonight, we'll proceed with preparing the first phase subdivision plans. And hopefully we'd like to do that, or, well, North Grassy would like to do that certainly as soon as possible to get in the ground, considering the amount of time that's passed since this application was made. And they want to catch the market while it's still strong. And there are a number of off-site costs with this development. It's very front-end heavy, so it's important to get some get the shovels in the ground on this. So I won't, again, won't belabor this. We're here to review or to hopefully approve a secondary plan for the Transcona North precinct. It's called Precinct I under the Complete Communities Direction Strategy. These precinct areas are, the intention is that they be, quote, complete communities providing opportunities for different types of housing and market-dependent commercial development and hopefully some employment opportunities in close proximity to housing areas and, of course, the institutional components, parks, schools, and everything. So, I mean, we do, the intention is honorable, and it is to develop complete communities that accommodate a variety of lifestyles, all ages, things like that. So this plan sets out, so the area is designated for future development. It's just what shape that's going to take. This secondary plan will set out the sort of broad development guidelines and land use policies for the major land uses. This depicts the property ownership, each color, of course, a different owner. The green is North Grassy, and it also indicates, the extent of the colors indicate the extent of the plan area bounded by Gunn, the perimeter, Transcona Trail, and the CEMR rail line. So this just gives a rundown on the public input that we did have. At the first public hearing, there was quite an extensive advertisement, both print media and flyers delivered. About 50 people showed up and 41 returned surveys, and we just, of course, this favors our development. Why else would we put it up there? But I think you could argue that most of the people there did favor residential development. I think the expectation is something's going to happen on those lands. And so most people either favored what was being proposed or were neutral on it. And there was a preference for residential over industrial. Last November, again, there's quite an attempt to get people out. There's maybe some cooling of excitement over development in this area, but I think it is still representative of the neighborhood in that, well, just the fact that it didn't generate a lot of interest, unfortunately. So, I mean, that says something right there when you only get a 0.8 response rate relative to the number of flyers that went out. So, but again, most people agreed with the plan or were neutral. And there was some misgivings because the amount of industrial area expanded from the first concept in view of concerns about the buffer around the industrial area, Griffin Steel in particular, and Border Chemical. The amount of light industrial or business park use expanded from the first concept, and I think there was some, that raised some eyebrows. And of course, we couldn't have gotten this far without the input and cooperation of the city administration. So here's the plan itself, and most of you will be familiar with it. Basically, the major land uses, I'm going to get my pen to work. The major land uses are the yellow being the single-family residential, and the light gray being the industrial. This red is sort of commercial, multifamily, mixed-use. Again, depending upon market conditions, it's there if there is a market demand for it. The lakes, of course, and the area is bisected by some major corridors, the hydro corridors, transmission line corridors, and the cordite drain. And this light industrial area really... the eastern and sort of eastern extent is really determined by a radius that that was drawn around Border Chemical and Griffin Steel. It's a 4,000 meter radius, I believe. Feet. Sorry. I apologize. 4,000 foot radius from. This area, the general area of Griffin Steel and Border Chemical. And that in reading John Winthrop's report, my understanding is that sort of emerged from discussions that he had with Border Chemical and with Griffin Steel. They, I think, you know, let's be honest, they probably prefer that there would be no residential in this area. But I think the indication was they're prepared to live with that kind of separation space. And I think as a gesture to the residents that are within that 4,000-foot radius, the proposal is to designate that for light industrial, business park-type uses, not heavy industrial, nothing noxious, nothing noisy, nothing, no sort of heavy traffic generators. It's the kind of element that, well, just the way the market's moving in that industrial, you're liable to have, you know, sort of that Terracon style of development. Hopefully, business park clean. I mean, that'd be the ideal situation, and that's how it's set up. And you'll notice that there's no access proposed to the neighborhoods to the south on Wayota or Wabasha. Wabasha, is that how you pronounce it, Councillor White? So there won't be any vehicular connection between those two areas. So just some highlights. It's intended to be a walkable community with transit stops within, I believe, 400 meters of all housing areas. It is proposed for principally single-family development, and it will be a higher density form of development, I think, than we're accustomed to seeing in suburban areas. North Grassy have come up with some house plans and development plans that will boost the densities up to probably about 5 units per acre, up as high as 10 units per acre if they're allowed to go through. So it's for a single family, it's quite high given that townhouse development's typically in the order of 15 to 20 units per acre. So at full build-out, we estimate there'll be about 780 homes in the areas designated residential. The multifamily site, if we just assume a moderate townhouse density, about 75 multifamily units. There is restrictions based on the fire flow, the water pressure, fire flows, whatever in that area I wouldn't say negate multi-story multifamily, but there'd have to be additional probably on-site reservoir storage and pumps for fire flows. I'm not sure. I'm not an engineer, but I suspect that's what would have to happen. It's one of the reasons why, one of the earlier plans had a lot more multifamily along the south limit of Gunn Road, but as the engineers delved into it, it was discovered that just wasn't practical without probably running in some more feeder mains or something, and even the city administration agreed that wasn't practical. So there is opportunities in keeping with the complete community's theme. There's opportunities for local employment in the industrial areas. I think we've had consultations with the school boards and with with representative sort of the recreational community there, and I think they're anxious to have more bigger catchment area and more people going to school and joining the community clubs and using the facilities. And again, I think it's great because I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities for entry-level housing, first-time home buyers, as well as a move-up market around the lake, some higher upscale housing around the lakes. And I think this is a good counterpoint to what's going on in the south part of the city where, I don't know, the buy-in in places like Waverly West or Bridgewater, I understand, are like, I don't know, 500,000? I don't know who's buying those houses. But I think we need this kind of housing, moderately priced. And let's put it in Transcona, one of the best-kept secrets of the city. It really is a town within a city, whereas a lot of the other initial municipalities have been swallowed up. Transcona has remained distinct. It's a wonderful place, wonderful Main Street, It really does have a life of its own, and I think this is an opportunity to boost the population and provide Transcona with a place to grow. So there is, with the plans to extend Chief Peguas to the perimeter, there will be good connectivity, vehicular connectivity with the balance of the city, and of course there will be transit too. And one of the big issues has been the development setbacks from Griffin Steel and from Border Chemical and from the existing industrial areas. And we believe that we've addressed that with the kind of development setback that was recommended in the Winthrop report. It is actually exceeds, I think, what the city administration or the planning was probably prepared to live with it at one time, and it does take some of my clients' lands out of residential development, and they're not an industrial developer, so it has had an impact on it. Will go to their bottom line depending upon how the market is for light industrial land use, but we're prepared to live with it if the community is, and we believe that with proper buffering and landscape being and things like that, that proximity won't be an issue. And there's lots of houses that are within that 4,000 foot radius right now. Nothing came out of John's consultations that would lead us to believe that there's any risk from the location of those operations. So I'll just quickly go through the report figures. This shows the road system. Basically, there will be a internal collector street network on the east side of Redondo. It's a loop on the west side. It's more or less a straight through connection from Redondo out to Gunn Road. And there is there will be a bus connection. It's illustrated in blue here, so there won't necessarily be ordinary public vehicular traffic out to Gunn, because there was a concern about having any kind of intersection at Gunn Road there. But I believe they've agreed to a right-in, right-out principally for bus and emergency access. So that area is going to sort of develop independently, but there is a prospect for, through those private properties, prospect for a bus connection. This depicts the buffer along the future Chief Peguas. This shows basically what the future Chief Peguas cross-section will look like. This is the, I forgot to use my little pen here. This is the existing right-of-way, and they're proposing to expand it by, I got my numbers here, by about 130 feet from the south limit of the existing right-of-way to the back of these of the properties that back on that will back on to the Chief Peguas extension, and so the separation distance, this allows for a 100-foot rear yard to a fence and a berm, landscape berm, and then down to the eastbound lanes, the new eastbound lanes. The gun is apparently currently confined to this this side of the existing right of way, rather. This is the active transportation network. It shows basically. One of the features of this area is the fact that it is on a couple of current sort of regional multi-use pathways along the Transcona trail here, and then there's a trail up to Cordite Drain, and the development will plug into these pathways at strategic locations, and then providing access to the school here and to the community club over here. So there is good connectivity from that sense, and again, that's one of the major goals of the complete community strategy. This just shows the overlays, the park space as it currently stands. A lot of these are conceptual drawings. They'll be refined at the subdivision stage. But this sort of conceptually shows how the development will play out. There will be good proximity to passive and active open space. And, of course, the kind of linear space along the lake is popular for walking and jogging and cycling. And again, back to the plan itself. So I think I'll leave it there for now. And perhaps if I could refer you to the table that we submitted, and I'll go through quickly the changes that we're requesting, or the amendments to the administrative report. Do you want to add anything to what I've said? No? Okay. So basically the first page deals with items A through I. Those are principally housekeeping items, and we concur with all of them. So if we flip to page 2, I believe it was Public Works. This idea that there sort of be only one access east and west into the residential area has raised flags with Public Works, and it's one of the reasons why we had sort of an emergency access up here for buses as well. But we believe that, this sort of arrangement, this would be a four-lane divided collector connection from this residential area to Redonda, and again aligning with a four-lane divided collector connection running into this westerly area, it would taper down to more of a minor collector status, if not a local street collector status, depending upon the traffic volumes. Again, there's no direct vehicular connection into this industrial area. So basically, if just going down through their points, J.I., there was a request that the public be, that this connection be accessible to the public. And we're agreeing with that. This would be a right-in, right-out only. No, they wouldn't be able to cross the median to get onto the west, the southbound lanes of Redonda. But we'd abide by that request that the public, this be built to a standard that the public public traffic could use. J2, there is a request that these two streets be pulled apart, and I suppose if this was a collector connection, that might be a concern, but again, we feel that the traffic volumes here do not exceed, don't come close to exceeding the maximum allowable traffic for collector streets, and this would carry very little traffic, so we don't see the same need to separate these two connections as you might if there was a lot more traffic being generated in this area. Just covering their bases, J3 actually requests two collector connections to Redonda. And again, we object. We wish the clause to be deleted. We note the traffic volumes as designed. These would carry 12,000 vehicles a day. This, the westerly collector, is only forecast to carry 5,600 vehicles, and the easterly collector about 8,700 vehicles. So it's certainly well within the means of that style of roadway to accommodate. So again, we'd like that We'd like that clause deleted. Is that, am I, is that totally confusing, or? Any questions before I go any further? Anything about that? No? Okay, keep going. So on page 3, we commence with changes that the applicant, that on behalf of North Grassy Properties, that I am requesting. Item 1. The policy 545 deals with the recreation charge that was requested for this area, $1,000 per unit for single-family dwellings or two-family dwellings, and $4,500 an acre for non-residential land use. And that the request of that money, or the policy currently states that that money will be directed to the Oxford Heights Community Club. We're agreeing to that, but with a schedule for payment of that recreation area charge as outlined, that following the approval of the first DASZ application, the developer pay 15% of the area charge based on the number of units, and that that payment be made 1 year following the issuance of a certificate of substantial performance for the installation of roads and services, and that thereafter 15% per year over 3 years, with the balance of the 40% being paid at the end of the fifth year following substantial performance. So that just sort of just makes, you know, it takes that that hit and schedules it over the a period of development that sort of provides some relief for the developer from this area charge. Policy 5632, transportation facility buffers. There is a policy, that policy deals with the buffer budding Gun Road and the perimeter highway, 2 meters high, landscaped and topped with a fence. And we're asking that that the buffering along the perimeter highway match what is developed, I guess, will match or exceed what's being developed along the perimeter south of this. It's already been developed. Sorry. So we just add that clarification or proviso that it be at least as substantial in terms of landscaping and effect or whatever as the current buffer along the perimeter highway. And then item 3, again, this would be, we'd like a new policy added, 5.7, and this covers there's been a substantial investment in the preparation of this precinct plan, both in the planning, the design, the consultation, the traffic impact assessment, preliminary engineering. It's really started to add up. Certainly my client is the principal landowner, but there are other benefiting properties, and we'd like this policy added, this new section, with a policy that the city will endeavor to recoup some of those costs on a pro rata basis from benefiting properties as their applications come forward for development. And then on item 4, in addition to 6331F, a new subclause G. This just reaffirms my client, North Grassy's, commitment to making the appropriate active transportation connections within the community. Certainly that will be enforced at the development approval stage, but we're just putting it in here just to, as a maybe not so subtle reminder that that has to be done, and my client's certainly willing to comply with that. And item 5, again, this would be in the transit service policies following 6.4, It'd be a new section 6.5. And again, it's looking for, there are a lot of front-end costs for this development. Not only that, but there'll be a lot of related street and intersection improvements that will fall to the principal developer, North Grassy, but will benefit other properties. So basically, we're just asking again that through the development agreement process, in accordance with the development agreement parameters, that there be, that the city endeavor to recoup costs from the installation of some intersection improvements, and they're listed under 6.5.3, the signalization of Redonda and East-West Collectors, the pedestrian crossing of the Transcona Trail, and these other intersections, Gun Redonda, Gun Day, and Gun Plessy. So those are, you know, and some of these items will be covered off again in the development agreement process, but we'd like them cast in stone, so to speak, cast in bronze within the development secondary plan. Does anyone want to deal with any of those items? Reaffirm, better describe? Are there any questions? Hearing none. Administration?
Not right now.
No? I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. But I will withdraw for now and allow your patience to be rewarded.
Thanks for your presentation.
I'll just ask if Norm Boyle, did you wish to speak? No? Okay. Jackie Wilk? No, good. Susan Russell? Yes, Susan Ford. Is there anyone else who's here in support of this application whose name has not been called? I will now start with people in opposition. Mr. Chappell?
C.L. Chappell, 30th floor, 360 Main Street, and I'm accompanied by
Darren McLeod. I'm a human resources manager at Griffin Wheel.
Mr. Chairman, a couple of observations. Firstly, planners, they never know when to sit down. Secondly, I think this is a John Winthrop show. And thirdly, I'm wondering if the clerk gets 50% off in her footwear. Mr. Chairman, my presentation is going to be very brief. I have a letter filed with the committee, and I would, with your indulgence, like to read it. It's four paragraphs. Please be advised that our office represents Amstead Canada Inc., commonly known as Griffin Wheel, the owners of the property at 2500 Day Street, which lands comprise 46.4 acres and are zoned M3 heavy industrial. Those are the lands up in the northwest corner that Mr. Mitchell referred to as Griffin Wheel. A steel railway wheel foundry and office complex is located on the property, which allow the manufacture of hundreds of railway wheels per day. The Amstead Canada Winnipeg operation involves the employment of approximately 203 people in the plant and administrative offices. The majority of the workers are unionized and have been so for many years. Our clients have had the opportunity of reviewing the report of J. Winthrop Consulting Limited, dated December 10, 2013. There is one change that our clients would like to see respecting the buffer radius. That change is that the 4,000 feet buffer would extend from the boundary of our property rather than the identified main emission stack. In the event that some future redevelopment should occur, it would take place on the existing 46.4 acres, but not necessarily where the existing improvements are located. It is for this reason we would be requesting the amendment to 4,000 feet from the perimeter of our property. Mr. Chairman, that would necessitate the Winnipeg Public Service Report being amended under Clause D, 1 sub D, to limit it from the perimeter of the property rather than the present location, that being the restricted development zone. Aside from that, Mr. Chairman, unless you have any questions, that completes our presentation. We're appreciative of the opportunity to, first of all, appear before you, and secondly, to have our buffer zone or our industry protected, and that's essential, of course, to us. But we also recognize that progress is going to go forward, and we can't pickle the land use forever, and we're not attempting to do that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Mr. McLeod is the brains. He can answer any operational issues that you have, may have, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yeah, a question, gentlemen. So practically speaking, where does that put that line?
I'm sorry.
Where does the line go now?
Where is the land now?
Line.
I think if we take that loop for the railway right-of-way between the Cordite Ditch and around to the to Gun Road and Day Street.
Yeah, I'd just add that it would be an adjustment from our perimeter from the emission stack on our main foundry. So it's an adjustment from the stack to the perimeter. Not exactly sure how much that is, but it will impact where the current buffer is now located.
Well, where's your stack right now? It's measured from your stack, right? So where's your stack?
It's not really defined as such. I don't know whether it's from the stack itself or is from the intersection of the road, Day Street and Gun. So what we're asking is please define the 4,000 restricted footage.
No, but your letter here says there is one change that our client would like to see respecting the buffer radius. That change is that 4,000 feet buffer would extend from the boundary of our property rather than from the the identified main emission stack. So where is that? Like, do you have a map or something, or do you just have this?
Yeah.
The foundry itself is located at the just off the south border of Gun Road and the east border of Day Street.
So if I'm reading this correctly, ribbon mills here.
Right.
Right. So the staff would be here in the center basically of the operating building.
Okay. So you're saying it should be the boundary, it shouldn't be measured from there. Uh-huh, okay.
Yes. To the perimeter of our property.
Which is where?
Which is the loop, I think.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where on this system. That's not that can be provided, but the concept is that it needs to be from here back to our perimeter, and then that's where the buffer measurement would be for 4,000.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If you provide that information, we want that to be an obstacle. The idea is that we move from here to the perimeter, and that's where the 4,000 feet buffer would be.
It would be at the top of that white triangle, comes the way.
Top of that white triangle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a formal measurement would have to see where exactly that would
That's not a huge adjustment, by the way, Mr. Chairman. You know, it is a footage, but it's not a huge adjustment.
What are you implying by the buffer? What are you implying by that buffer? What are you implying by the buffer? When you say a 4,000-foot buffer, what does that imply in your mind?
Well, it'd be the 4,000 feet would run essentially where the loop is, because it's kind of a triangular piece of property, so you see that green space.
Uh-huh.
Green there, Mr. Chairman.
And it would run from that distance.
I just want to add to that, too. I want to add to that that what we're implying here is that we're a heavy industrial operation that melts steel and forms train wheels. With that comes, as would any heavy industrial environment, that buffers required, particularly the purpose of that for the zoning, current zoning, was to allow for that heavy industrial. Now the proposal is to move to residential. You know, that buffer is required, and you know, that backs up onto our heavy industrial and the characteristics of that. So that's what's being implied.
Okay, because this is your chance. You're basically saying that anything within 4,000 feet, you don't want to allow any kind of residential development, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Not any.
Not anything. It's in referral to the current proposal.
Repeat that again.
The letter's related to the direct proposal that's being presented.
Right. The proposal before us today is based on a 4,000-foot setback based on your smokestack.
Yep.
And you're saying that that's too close, right? You're saying any kind of residential development should not be in within that. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, that would definitely change this.
We're asking you to look at that.
He's not saying that we'll change it. But.
Have you had any conversations with the applicant directly?
Yeah, there's been discussions.
Okay. I don't have any other questions right now, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could they go, like, here on their lawn?
Okay. Next in opposition, I have a Dennis Smirshensky.
I'd like to thank you for your patience tonight. We've had a long evening, and my name is Dennis Smirshensky from Border Chemical. I'm at 595 Gunn Road, and I'm here tonight with a number of our employees that are concerned, and they are here because Border Chemical's been here since 1959, producing sulfuric acid and aluminum sulfate, and we're not here for the quick buck to take advantage of a market that might be seeming to be hot right now and head back to locations other than Manitoba. We're Manitoba people, we employ people in Manitoba, and in the best of everyone's interests. We want to keep industrial development away from heavy industry with insufficient separation from residential and heavy industry. There'll be a nuisance. They're going to have the people that follow you in your offices will be inundated with complaints and problems. And, you know, when I started at Border back 40 years ago, we had an individual that filed complaints with us, and she was just on the phone and doing that for no special reason other than she had time to. Well, it didn't take Manitoba Environment in those days long to figure out that she wasn't even complaining when the wind was in her direction. It was a south wind, and she was complaining that, you know, we were creating problems for her. Heavy industry and residential land is simply not compatible. If you look at the picture on the front of this presentation we have, I took that this morning at 6:30 a.m., and it gives you an idea of what the people will look at when they wake up in the morning and look out across the field. They're not looking at, you know, earlier we heard that there was a 27-foot-high house that was a problem. Well, if you look at this picture, you can see smokestacks, you see cooling tower plumes, you see rail cars that probably are not moving because of the problems that they had at Lake Megantic. You see shipping containers. You see asphalt tanks from Husky Oil. You see our sulfuric acid plant on the left-hand side. And people that are going to go in there and buy a cheap lot are going to do that initially, and then they're going to complain about that. So what we do at Border Chemical, we manufacture chemicals that are dangerous. We make sulfuric acid. It's used in a number of industries throughout Manitoba to produce pulp and paper, and it's used in asphalt. We terminal asphalt products, agricultural fertilizers, feed grade phosphate, and we deliver those products in 600 miles radius of Winnipeg, and we make sure, to the best of our ability, that we do this in a safe manner. But that doesn't preclude us having an issue like you had in St. Boniface a couple of years ago, and, you know, we all know the results of having industry close to residences. We've assisted the City of Winnipeg in past times with flood control pumps. Our high-capacity wells are used to supply water for firefighting. We do that just out of the goodness of our heart, and we don't charge anybody for water if they get it for firefighting. Our multi-million dollar payroll and ongoing maintenance and capital program is important to Manitoba. Border sources millions of dollars in the City of Winnipeg, and our labor from local areas contributes to additional benefits for a strong Winnipeg and Manitoba economy. Over the years, we've had 20 successive safe handling awards from CN since they started the program, and I'm sure some of you have seen our bright red trucks hauling chemicals up and down Gun Road and across the perimeter highway, and we're convinced from what we've seen here earlier tonight that the people of Transcona are concerned about traffic, they're concerned about noise, they're concerned about being wakened at 4 o'clock in the morning. Our facility operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got truck traffic 24 hours a day, incoming, outgoing, and, you know, with these people that are, these developers are proposing to put in that area, they're going to be complaining about truck traffic going by at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's not something that you know, they want to see. I think there was three separate proposals tonight where the people complained about traffic and noise, and we just don't need to go there. We've got a number of neighbors in the area. We've got Griffin. We've got Expotential Products. We've got General Scrap that has a shredder there. Expotential is looking at putting another shredder in. We've got Pounder Emulsions, Division of Husky Oil. We've got Asphalt Tech Paving Company. We've got the Parrish and Heimbecker Grain Elevator. We've got Central Manitoba Railway and CP Rail. All of these people are providing truck traffic, and creating irritants to people that would be residents in that area. It's important to understand that heavy industries provide a lot of local employment, and you know, typically they emit noise, odors, and dust, and that happens in that region. One of the things that we've made a practice of doing at Border Chemical over the years is supporting the local charities in Winnipeg, and the number of them that we've supported are listed in your handout there. If you'd read it, that would be good. And you can see that, you know, a number of those grants that you dealt with earlier at 5:30, we're supporting those people, and we're supporting them to a very, very high extent. So if we weren't there and able to do our business, you guys would be sitting here till midnight with requests for grants just to make up some of the difference that we would be losing. So I guess in closing, I'd ask you to, you know, just consider the fact that we've been here employing people for 55 years. We're not in here to make a quick buck and go back to BC and not pay any taxes, not employ people. That's not the intent of our business here. So what we'd like to do is see no residential development in that area. At the very least, we would like to see that area developed as it is in Springfield, north of Gun Road, and have light industrial. And we heard earlier from the developer that that's something that doesn't sell well. Well, I think if you look at what's happened in across the road at Gun Road, you'd see that you know, there's no issue. They've sold almost all those lots they have available, and I think they could sell a lot more of them if it was light industrial. But you know, how are those people going to get to the Safeway store that was referenced earlier this evening? Are they going to drive down Redonda all the way? Well, if you're putting 600 homes in there, those people that you talked to earlier tonight aren't going to be happy, and we're not going to be happy. So we need to preserve that M3 industrial area, and I ask you to do the right thing tonight and turn down this application from the developers. Thank you.
Just a second. We have some questions.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Mr. Szymanski, is it, thank you for your presentation. Appreciate everything that you do, that your business has done in the community over the years, hiring people and development, everything else. And you reference all the industries that are in the RM of Springfield near you. Is it not true, though, that all those businesses in there are paying a fraction of the mill rate that they would normally pay if they were located inside the city of Winnipeg?
Russ, I'm not familiar what the mill rate is across the street, so I can't answer that.
Okay.
But I would, I've heard that that's the case, but I can't speak to the exact difference.
Is it true that you as a firm take out on an annual basis a contract with the city of Winnipeg to supply fire protection because of the fact that you are a highly flammable business and do not have the necessary services from within the RM itself?
We've had a number of years. I think back when you got first elected, we set that contract up, and we purchased fire protection from the city, and yeah, that goes back, I think, almost 20 years ago, 18, 20 years ago, and we've been paying them for that service ever since.
But unlike yourself, which you're a good corporate citizen, you are, a lot of other businesses in the area are not taking that service up, do not pay the city of Winnipeg for protection, therefore do not have fire, do not have fire hydrants, do not have fire protection to the level that you do. Is that fair to say? I guess what I'm challenging you here is on the assumption you made, which is the land will sell as light industrial. It may not. If you require the level of service that we require inside the city of Winnipeg versus what the RM is allowed to require, which is a lot less, I don't know if it will sell. My guess is you'd have a heck of a time.
Well, Russ, we support ag in the classroom, whereby we make a substantial donation so that children from the city of Winnipeg learn about how agriculture works. Right. And if it was me, I would be putting soybeans in there, selling them at $15 a bushel, and making a good buck rather than have the thing sit the way it is now. And, you know, there's some substantial benefits that the developer could have if he continued to have agriculture on that site.
So you're saying that Water Chemicals interested in purchasing that land that's sitting there on the west side of Redonda? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we should talk to him and see if he wants to do something. Maybe you might have an opportunity to share that. We could crop share it, yeah.
You might have an opportunity to that before you know it. So,
okay, sure.
All right. Have you had discussions with the applicant since?
We haven't. The applicant was in my office, prior to the second public meeting, but if you mean like Norm Boyle was in,
Whoever the applicant.
Norm Boyle was in my office with Jackie, and we had some discussions, and they know our feelings on it. And
how long ago was that?
That was prior to the meeting in November, I believe.
So prior to this application being
filed.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks very much, Dennis. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Egan Godfredson.
I stood up already. Councillor Wyatt, Councillor Wadi, Councillor Steen, and members of council, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. When I signed the form, I wasn't aware that it entitled you to make a presentation, so I don't have any written notes, but I'm here mainly to support Mr. Smirchansky's presentation. I'm currently employed and have been for many, many years as plant superintendent with Border Chemical Company, and I consider our company to be quite a success story, starting from scratch to where we are today. We have an excellent relationship with the community of Transcona. The way to keep an excellent relationship with your community or with anybody else, whether it be a community or relatives, is to keep your distance. And this is why we're asking that we can reconsider high-density housing so close to our facility. There are a number of reasons. One of them is that traffic on Gun Road has significantly increased since the Gun Road was upgraded. Council has a habit of listening to concerns of the residents. I'll give you a couple of examples. When Plessy Road was upgraded from two-lane to four-lane between Kildare and Gun Road, resulted in quite an increase in traffic. The resident complained about the increase in traffic and the noise. Since then, Plessy Road between Kildare and Gun is no longer a truck route. And the same goes for Gun Road between Plessy and Day Street. When it was paved and increased the truck traffic, the residents bordering onto it complained. Council heard their complaints and closed it to a truck route. The traffic on those streets is small compared to the traffic that we're going to have and what we have on Gun Road. So for that reason, and the ones that I've mentioned, that we'd like to see this area stay as light industrial. I'm also here as a longtime resident of the community of Transcona. I live in the east end of Transcona on Walton Crescent. I've been there for many years. When I look at the developer's plan as to how these people are going to get anywhere, whether it be to their places of employment or shopping, I see them going down Redonda, and they'll probably take the same route as everyone else, Redonda to Victoria, down Victoria to Kildare, or to Regent, and down Regent to wherever they're going. With all the development we've had in the east end of Transcona, that route is significantly crowded now with traffic, especially during rush hour. And being as I live in the area, I see it on a daily basis. Before any housing should be considered, there should be some thought to infrastructure as to how to move these people around. Gun Road isn't really an option because there is really no exit onto Gun Road other than to Day Street. I also see this whole area being considered for a very high-density housing. I'm not sure, Councillor Wyatt, if that's best for the community of Transcona. Like I say, I've lived there for many, many years. We have a very excellent community. It's a good place to live, but we have a mix of housing. Building a whole community of low density or high density housing of that size is probably not something that's good for any area of the city. At some point in time, it may become a ghetto for low-income families, and I think that any development that takes place should be a mixture of housing, low density and high density, just the way we have it today. So thank you for hearing my concerns.
Any questions? Thank you very much, sir.
Glenn Godfredson, do you wish to speak? No? Okay. Greg and Stacy Zahiko. Kathy and Ken Kareen. P.B. Smirshansky. And Ed Priest. Is there anyone who's on opposition whose name has not been called and wishes to speak? Okay, I'll start for people that are registered for information. Lilila Clavlins. Dan Doucette.
Good evening, members of council, staff. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Dan Doucette. I'm the Director of Planning for the Municipality of Springfield. On behalf of the Council of Springfield, we have some concerns regarding the residential development directly adjacent to Springfield's Industrial Park, which is located just north of Gun Road. Springfield Industrial Park has a variety of light, medium, and heavy industrial businesses. Springfield Council would like to ensure that proper measures are taken for suitable buffers between the residential and industrial land uses. Council of Springfield is not opposed to development. We just want to make sure it's developed properly. Springfield Council would also like to have improved communications between the city and Springfield. We were not notified of this public hearing or even within the Winthrop report. As a major player, we weren't even consulted. So that's all I'd like to add. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next person registered for information is Paul Cornetel, or Cornifel. Do you wish to speak? Grabowski Singh Shergill. Harbhajan Singh Shergill. Joe Matula. Okay, Paul Benito.
Oh, bear with me, I've never done this before. I'm a resident. I live right there, right in the smack, where they have a light industrial, where it's white beside the green park. Me and my neighbors, there's four of us there. So they already have a plan that's going to be light industrial. We live there. They don't own that property. So how can they propose this when they don't own this property? But here's a few questions I have for them. What is going to happen to the existing four residents that live on our road? The map shows light industrial where we live. Our properties go right to the back. My property is right where that lake is, so they have their plans on my property. How can you make a proposal for a subdivision if you don't own these lots? at what stage do you get included for the residents on Gunn Road for this project? We really maybe came to us once in this entire development. Should the property issue be dealt with first before this goes any further for approval? What happens if we don't sell the properties for the project? Can our lands be expropriated for this project or the use of running sewer lines or roads for a private developer? And these are for the four people, myself, Paul Benito, I live at 974 Gunn Road, Paul Kaufman at 1016 Gunn, Joe Matula at 1104 Gunn, and Majid Sherrill at 992 Gunn. These are all that I had. Any questions? Done? Okay, thank you.
Questions? No.
Thank you.
Joe Matula? You're okay. Okay. Thank you. Joanne McCarthy? No. And Ted Grief? Grove? No. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone who is registered for information whose name has not been called and wishes to speak? Seeing none, Mr. Chairperson, if the applicant would like to come back for rebuttal.
Thank you. I think we're going to tag team it in our response, and I think Jackie's going to deal with Griffin Wheel.
Jackie Wilkie with McGowan Russell Group, 825 St. Joseph. In response to some of the concerns that were brought up by Griffin Wheel, with the buffer being extended out the from their property line, the 4,000 foot, it would actually take it into the other side of Day Street, or the other side of Redonda, approximately the line of the ring road on this side, or the west portion of the ring road, which would negate having development for more than half of the precinct die. An important part to note for everyone is that this precinct I has been designated as a mixed-use development as part of Plan Winnipeg. What we're dealing with right now is the precinct plan that shows how it will be developed, like an overarching form for how the development will happen in the long run, and not what has to be development, but a plan to show what can be developed within those lands. It is our understanding that the report from the steering committee for the industrial zone buffer was reviewed with all of the industrial owners. So we just want to make sure that that was what was part of the development. And we used that report as the defining factor for setting out the buffer line. Some of the concerns that came up from Border Chemical are the wanting to have the entire site as in light industrial or industrial as part of Plan Winnipeg. This precinct I has been set out as mixed use, not as a single use development. It can't be all residential. It can't be all park. It cannot be all industrial. That was part of the requirements for precinct I. One of the items that Councillor Wyatt brought up was the different costs from Springfield Industrial Park and how it's selling versus what would be sold in the city of Winnipeg. The costs are quite a bit more because you have to have serviced lands, so the costs go up quite a bit to try and do that development. From the homeowners who came up and spoke, North Grassy Properties personally went and knocked on everyone's door and let them know about each of the open houses that was the two open houses. We had representation by most of the people on that from those homes at each of the open houses. They're concerned that we're showing being industrial or park or buffer within their lands or any type of development. It doesn't mean that they have to develop. As with any precinct plan, the owner still owns the land. It is just a guiding factor for when and if development ever happens on that land. This is what the city would like to see. For the concerns from Springfield with the buffering on Gun Road, as well as some of the other concerns, we'd shown the buffer on Gun Road, which is based on the expansion of Gun Road to a four-lane divided. So the housing does not even begin until after the buffer towards the south. And I think that was all the items that I had.
Thanks, Jackie. I just can't let that comment pass. The Chuck level at me that I don't know when to sit down and shut up. I think the last time we crossed swords, I was representing Gairdow and Maristeel. He did all the talking. We lost. So I'm glad to see he's representing industry this time around and not the residents necessarily. We've been down this path several times in relation to this land. It is designated as a new community. I think if this area was designated entirely for industrial or even more so, there'd probably be more opposition. We don't want to turn Redonda into a truck route. I'm not even sure if the water issues would affect industrial development in this area. But I think this is a good compromise. I think it responds to the kind of research that John Winthrop did and discussions. I quite frankly think Border and Griffin are probably pretty happy with 4,000 feet, if I can speak for them. But why not push for just a little more? But I think it would have a drastic impact on the development itself. And, yeah, I am looking at the separation distances. Basically, what's this demonstrating? Well, that is a good point. There are lots of houses along Larch and Tom and Dowling that actually would fall within that area. So I don't know what that implies for the people that already live there, but, like, you know, I think they've cohabited for a long time. Linden Woods was designated industrial at one time. Linden Ridge was designated industrial one time. I recall when the Lawson Crescent people came out, there's an oil recycler there, and they're like, it's, you know, there's train tracks and it's going to be hell. I don't know what's emerged, but I think it's, you know, Linden Woods is Linden Woods, right? So I think it's worked out there. I know traffic is an issue everywhere, and it's hoped that this area will be well served with transit. And you just can't build roads to accommodate cars. The only way to do it is to make it so miserable that people will hop a bus. You know, I mean, where isn't it busy? My God, it's just crazy everywhere. But that's what we're living with. And the way our cars are tricked out now, why not spend another half hour of your day, you know, Bluetoothing or whatever the heck you do in these vehicles? So what can you say? You know, I've been doing this for 30 years. This is like Groundhog Day for me. The people that live on Gun currently, the city has the authority to designate these lands. They're not going to be forced out. Come talk to the developer. If you want to sell, but you can stay there as long as you want. This doesn't cast a pall on your prospects for future development. But they're, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people, their lands are designated. And it wasn't the applicant's, or there wasn't my client's idea to bring the industrial over that far. We'd gladly live with a smaller separation distance, 3,000 feet. I think that's what it was at one time. It sort of came down to the edge of the Transcona Trail, I think, and I thought that was pretty good. And that would have meant that those properties on Gunn would have been outside that industrial area. So that's what the recommendation was, 4,000 feet. If you want to reduce it to leave those residences in residential designation, we'd be all for that. Arm of Springfield, in a perfect world, we'd have expropriated everything out to the perimeter, you know. But as it is, you know, I think we can be good neighbors with the Arm of Springfield. And God knows, hopefully some of these people will gain employment in that subdivision or that development there and at Griffin Wheel and Border Chemical. So I'm not sure if anyone wants to add anything. Are there any follow-up questions?
Mr. Mitchell. I'll call you Mr. Mitchell, not Bill Murray. It's a Groundhog Day. Anyway, I guess my question is the one that, you know, is the important one here, which is, your client, are you prepared to lay this matter aside for a month and meet with, I guess, the folks that have given us written submissions who, by and large, are represented here today by Aikens Law, which is Border Chemical and Griffin Steel and Border Chemical, to discuss to see if there is any kind of common ground?
Jackie.
We've met with both groups previously, and we've also we also understand that they've met with John Winthrop for the report for the buffer zones and the protection of the Griffin Industrial Area. If there's compromise to be found, we would do so. I don't know that it would change much on what the precinct plan would be requiring. In that, from our understanding, their standpoint is that they don't want to have any single family, which is contrary to the requirements of Plan Winnipeg.
So your answer is?
We just don't, if it's the direction of the committee to have more discussions, we will. We'd like to see what the
at the end of the day, you represent a developer who, by and large, is a single-family developer. Mm-hmm. They represent businesses which, by and large, are heavy industrial businesses. You want to develop on lands that you own or have the option to or purchase outright near their industries. They feel that they have been there longer and that they have a right to be able to say, no, you shall not come closer than this. They're right now here in opposition, which was everything that we attempted to avoid. Is it a negotiating ploy on their part? Possibly, to push back the envelope even further. However, I'm sure they're just as aware that an opportunity that's coming forward today may not be an opportunity that's there for them in the future, that there could be, with the growth and development happening inside the city of Winnipeg, even greater pressure down the road to have residential in this area that they will not be able to contain, so they should take this opportunity as well seriously and have a chance to sit down with a serious single-family developer, which you represent, and hopefully find a compromise which both parties can live with. And that's what this committee would like to see. And if that cannot be achieved, then you know what? I'm extremely disappointed and sorry for our community and sorry for the industrial park, sorry for the Arm of Springfield, sorry for all of us, because we're just going to have constant conflict and constant headaches, and it will not get resolved. And really, it should be resolved to protect the jobs that they represent, but also to ensure that land use in this area, that there is a minimal land use which can still accommodate people who are ironically going to need to work in the very industries that live to the north of us. But I hope that you can do that or are prepared to do that, and I hope reasonable minds, you know, I don't, whatever that is, whatever the compromise is, can come to the table. I think we as a city, we went out of our way, we hired Mr. Winthrop to try to find a compromise, to try to find where it could be done. Clearly, that has not succeeded. So I'm throwing it back to you, the private sector, you know, to let's find a solution here that can work so that you can get Border Chemicals' opposition card changed to a support card and Griffin Steel's card changed from an opposition card to support card so that we can all be big boys and big girls here and not little kilt children. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yes.
So can we do that? Can we try that?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to move that this matter be laid over until the next committee meeting. Pray to God that saner, more reasonable folks come forward at the next meeting. Yes. 30 days.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?